Hey folks, welcome to the East Texas News Roundup, coming to you live from the news bunker in downtown Livingston in some bad weather. Hope y'all made it through Christmas all right. How are things on your side of the lake, Jacob?
Everything's going great. We just wrapped up the Christmas holidays and got to see some good Christmas cheer. We got to see the Impact Center giving out gifts and giving out stuff for the homeless. We got to see Toys for Tots giving out stuff for Christmas. So everything's kind of quiet, but there's still people that are contributing to the spirit of Christmas, I guess you could say, in that we're giving more than we're receiving.
Well, good.
And we also had on Saturday at 3, we have now two new Eagle Scouts with Troop 845.
Yay.
And found out some very interesting things about Eagle Scouts is that for Boy Scouts, it's literally 2% of Boy Scouts will become Eagle Scouts.
Impressive. Wow.
Yes, impressive. Most impressive. So these guys are the 2 of the 100. And they say it used to be 4 out of 100. Now it's 2 out of 100. They're hoping to get it back up to 4.
Well, and they generally do very well in their future lives after scouting.
Absolutely.
Yes. So what kind of projects did your guys do?
They didn't really go too much into their projects. Just they went through some of the history. They honored their younger scouts as well. Mm-hmm. And then talked a little bit about the two. But they didn't really go too terribly much into their, like, what all stuff that they've done. But I do have all the information recorded. But we were there for a little over an hour.
Right.
It was a bit lengthy for a ceremony when you have only two kids primarily.
Yeah,
they're getting these honors. But it was nice. They had it at the Cold Spring United Methodist Church. It means a lot to them.
Oh, and good. Well, maybe we'll hear more about them later. Like,
yes.
Maybe some scouts and parents will contact you and tell them what they did. Because usually you have to have a pretty decent project.
You're definitely right on that. Because, I mean, back when I was with Cleveland, there was a kid. His project was putting maps, like, all around the city for people and at, like, key locations of Cleveland. And I don't know for sure if that kid made Eagle Scout or not. Off the top of my head, I don't remember his name. I do remember that. I mean, still, it was, like, a really big project in a lot of ways for him.
Yeah. Well, since Jason and Megan aren't here, Megan kind of got waylaid by weather. Jason is spending some time with his son for Christmas.
Yes.
So they are not here, but Chris and I are competing for who has the biggest crime news for the holidays.
You know, it's kind of an odd situation.
I think I will have to defer to you.
Oh, man. Well, you know, we don't have a whole lot of major crimes in Tyler County, but I guess when we do, it's a real doozy. And as it turns out, this weekend, the report came in about a murder that happened in Hillister, which Hillister is this little farming community that's only about 8 miles or so south of Woodville. And basically the gist of it is dispatch got a call in that someone was being held hostage at a house in Hillister. And when the deputies arrived, they found someone tied and gagged, bound, and someone making threatening proclamations on this person's life. And so they took this guy into custody. But what they found in the house when they searched it is the real kicker. They found the body of a young woman whose name is not yet public. It will be tomorrow, according to Sheriff Weatherford.
Well, by the time they're listening to this podcast, we may be able to release that name. But we're waiting until the family's notified.
And right. And Sheriff Weatherford has said it will be tomorrow. And there is a mugshot out of the guy. He's only 29 years old, and aside from the massive neck tattoo, he looks like a kid. So it's a
describe that tattoo like you did for us.
Oh man, it is a demon tattoo that goes across the width of his neck. It's a pretty massive piece.
Wow. Have you ever seen anybody who has the knots put in the top of their forehead?
Oh, yeah, like subdural implants and things?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That is,
not me.
I think it's interesting that they would do that. You have to wonder what's in their head, what's in their mind. You know, who the heck is this person?
I think maybe their career goals are not Sunday school teacher.
Maybe not. Or choir leader or anything. You know, and I think that goes into, like, I'm a big fan of tattoo art. I mean, I've got several tattoos myself, most of them pretty well hidden, closed. But I think that goes into the way we think as a culture, our Western way of thinking, that it's a major taboo still to have things on your face, be it a disfigurement or a tattoo or a mark of some kind.
Mm-hmm.
And I still, you know, to this day, I mean, even I see Mike Tyson on the news or in a magazine or something, the little piece of tribal that he has under his eye. I'm just kind of like, just kind of
makes
him look crazier, you know?
Yeah. One of my beloved son-in-laws has a lot of, Well, they both have tattoos, but one of them has a considerable amount in that show. He has stars on his hands and some things that are not covered by clothes, even though he is pretty active in ministry projects and things like that. And he has some buyer's remorse on his tats. But anyway.
Yeah, it's a process to get anything
And it's
removed.
Real hard to convince your seven daughters not to draw on themselves when you have tattoos.
I bet it is.
Do as I say, not as I do.
At least when they're drawing on themselves, they could wash that out, you know.
Theoretically, yes.
Theoretically.
Man, I remember back in junior high and high school, like when, you know, a lot of the grunge bands were popular and people like Henry Rollins and Pantera. It was just, it was so fascinating to like study and memorize what tattoos they had. And I would do that. Like I would draw like want to be Phil Anselmo or Henry Rollins or whatever. And with magic marker have like the black flag logo or whatever.
I saw something on social media. You have to know your tats because it is, if you've never helped anybody study for gang task force or something, there's a lot of symbolism there that's
Oh, there is. And then you've got relevant. Like the Aryan Brotherhood tats and those kinds of things.
You know whether to
too.
Go ahead and finish your transaction at the convenience store or just forget it and run. But
right on. Yeah.
Well, I would think a requirement of a successful criminal career would be to not get a tattoo.
Yeah, because that's just another identifying mark. So,
Well, and you hear him all the time on the scanner saying, well, does he have the Ferdinand on his left calf? And
well, see, you can always get away with that. Like how there is a gang symbol that uses a discolored version of the, or not discolored, but it's a different coloration of the Houston Astros logo. Hmm. So you can always be like this. I can't remember who it was that told to me, but I do remember someone telling me they were getting an Astros tattoo, didn't realize that they were coloring it like the game. So you can always get away with that. Just like, I was trying to get an Astros tattoo.
Well, meanwhile, back in Livingston, we did have a shooting on this side of the forest, too.
Did we really?
We didn't know. You did. We did. It like Livingston Village. Surprise.
Surprise.
Wiggins Village. It was a village.
Wiggins Village.
Wiggins Village. Family discussion, I guess, got a little out of hand Christmas Day, and the guy fired off three shots and hit whoever he was arguing with in the leg. I don't know any victim information, but they're still looking for that. So cruise over to our Facebook page, check out that mugshot, and if you can help Captain Ricky Childers and the rest of the gang over there in North Washington find that guy, you might get a Crime Stoppers reward.
I have a question. I want to go back to the Scouts for a second.
We haven't even introduced you, though. Anyway.
Oh, okay. Well, let me be quiet.
That's right. We're
on a very strict outline here today. Tim is my cohort on Crime Behind the Pine Curtain. Tim Martin, he does a few other things around town, especially during this holiday time. Everybody's trying to burn off all their time off before payroll.
Oh, yeah.
Tells us no more.
Singing those blues.
Tells us no more. And I interrupt when I'm not supposed to. Obviously, don't go in the correct order. The dude abides.
Yes.
There's your Sam Elliott reference. Question about the Scouts. I've seen on the news that we know why the boy part is going off of the Scouts because of legislation or lawsuits, whatever. But I saw that the Girl Scouts are now suing and that they're suing because the name Scouts is owned by all of them, that is an issue that the Boy Scouts are now the Scouts.
I didn't realize they were taking it out of their name altogether.
I didn't either.
That's my understanding. Do you know about that?
Personally, I do not. I mean, I know there's definitely been the controversies lately because it's been getting into our modern day political spectrum of, getting into transgenderism. How is that going to be represented in the Scouts? It sounds like it's becoming a very petty squabble.
Yeah.
If you ask me,
it does.
And first of all, looking at it from a very politically neutral perspective, discussing transgender Scouts, you already have two separate groups based on gender. You have Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts. Mm-hmm. So to me, it's kind of, I mean, we're talking about on the far left, you're talking about a group that talks about multiple genders, you know, and multiple ways of looking at it. So why not set up another group? Because this is already a group that's kind of set up one way. And you have another group that's up another way. You know, it feels like it's becoming a little more complicated.
And I think you're making it so complicated that for the folks, I mean, the little kids who are in, and it's large, if you look at the membership, it's mostly smaller kids. There are stereotypes there that Girl Scouts do different things than Boy Scouts. And regardless of which box you check, if you want to do more of the sewing and cooking and crafts, and I mean, they camp out too. And, I learned how to start some monster fires in the Girl Scouts, but get in a Girl Scout troop. Or if you're a girl who wants to do all of that stuff, and I have, two daughters and seven granddaughters, I kind of would hate to see them go into Girl Scouts just because when you are talking about, there's a lot of competitive behavior. Mm-hmm. And I think girls not going to be able to physically compete with boys.
Well, I mean, look at me. There's no way that typical female is going to be able to go in and do what I do. Not because I'm special, but I'm extremely large.
Yeah, you're and six, what, four?
Five.
6'5".
And there aren't very many women that
are 6'5".
Come my size.
Yep.
Well, you look at football, for instance. You know, and you look at sports in high school. We have, mm-hmm. when a football season's going on, volleyball season is also going on.
Right.
And typically, I'm going to say 99.99999. I can't emphasize enough nines past the decimal point, but you get what I'm saying. Percent of the time, the girls are playing volleyball and the boys are playing football. Now, mm-hmm. the funny thing is, though, that isn't necessarily gender specific, because here at Shepherd Middle School, they had three girls playing football. Mm-hmm. And now, I don't know if they were ever intentioned to do that in high school. And I don't think they were. I don't know if they're quite there yet, because that was maybe a year or two ago when I did that story. But the thing is, it's hard to say, because you have to think about how you're drawing lines. Mm-hmm. But let's look outside of school, for instance. You look mm-hmm. at another outside activity, martial arts. Martial mm-hmm. arts are technically they're gender neutral. When I mm-hmm. took karate, right. Actually here in Livingston, it was with Pax Karate. It was mm-hmm. years back in the 90s. We had guys, we had girls, you had young and old. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking about like little kids. They had the tiny tigers,
right.
you know, and then you have the older groups that are in their teenage years and their adult years and whatnot. I mean, my mother did it when, you know, she was in her 40s at the time. And the thing is, I mean, so it's kind of one thing. Because it's obviously they're meant to be for everyone. But then you talk about groups where you start to divide things by gender. It kind of complicates the issue in a lot of ways, I think.
And talking
already.
About the inescapable physical differences, I know Tim and I went to school with some folks, so they might be a little, you might be a little too far younger, but most girls have far less upper body strength than guys do. Our center of gravity is lower and all of that. So I worked in EMS, you know, from my freshman year in college, and I just had a heck of a time lifting my end of the stretcher.
Right.
But even in my skinny days, I was in really good shape for a 20-something-year-old mom, but I just never could lift what the other guys in our company could lift. And when I hit 30, it absolutely got really difficult to do mm-hmm. a job that is that physically demanding. But two of my classmates, Tina and Lisa Shubrick, who was the state shot put champion for a couple of years.
Yeah, those are strong girls.
If you are a man and Tina asks you to dance and you say no, don't challenge her to a fight, because she will whip you.
This is why I never would have dated her back then, because I never want to date a girl that can beat me in a wrestling match.
Right.
But, you remember Lisa. She's hale and hearty this day.
Yeah.
Because,
you know, they love to dance and they will snatch you out on the dance floor. And by gosh, you better dance.
And they
are lovely girls.
Yes, that's what I was going to say. Since we brought them up, we're talking about lovely girls.
And I talk about them as, you know, nearly lifelong friends.
What about because I read and I'm up to date on the pronouns, because pronouns are now an issue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of fluidity there with pronouns.
So you do have the option, since you mentioned forming a third group, we could have Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, and They Scouts.
They Scouts.
I think, honestly,
Proper for them.
Yeah.
That's what they say.
I mean, honestly, I'll straight up put it to you this way, because I do listen to him every now and then. I don't necessarily agree with him on everything, but I think he put it best. If you're listening to Ben Shapiro, he had talked about this. This was actually one of the things that got people to notice him. And he was having a discussion with a girl in college about transgenderism. And they did talk about Boy Scouts. And he said, the fact is, you always had to be a boy to be a Boy Scout. And she said, well, where's that written? And he just looks at her and he says, in the name Boy Scout. And
I saw that.
Yeah. And the thing is, I mean, yes, it was funny. And yeah, it was kind of a very blunt, sarcastic argument. But it's a point, though. You have scouts that are given different names, and the names are given that are tied to gender. So, I mean, how do you start going about altering that? And to me, it starts to make a system very complex when mm-hmm. it was very simple beforehand, where it was boys were in Boy Scouts, girls were in Girl Scouts. And yeah, you could always talk about some of the inner politics, but at least the grouping was already there. But now it starts to kind of get very muddled in a way.
How about if we just call them the Strong Scouts and the Thinking Scouts?
Hey, it works.
I would call that sexist, and I'd tell you to get out of this podcast.
What if this Uh-huh. Both in one group.
Well, I can see the reason for that, but I think you just have to pick something else. I mean, at first I was thinking outside scouts and inside scouts just because of the, where the more of their activities land. But
So if we just called it like it is, Valerie's pretty sure girls are smarter than boys.
Pretty sure. I'm certain.
She's certain.
I'm
also the only girl in the room. Are you?
Well, why...
Yeah, another. Yes. About your days off coming up.
So last question for me on the Scouts. What is it about the Boy Scout that makes it an organization that the government can get involved and say you must change? Why is that?
I don't know that it's the government saying it. I think it's lawsuits saying it.
And a judge, just a judge.
It's just going to court and having a judge decide. I don't know that it's coming out.
Yeah, because the Scouts don't receive any money from the government.
That's what I thought. It's all donation.
I mean, what two groups that you see go to court a lot are the various animal advocacy groups. Because some of the most contentious city council and commissioners courts meetings I have been in the last 30 years is over what to do with our animals. Mm-hmm. And you have the various humane societies and SPCAs and friends of the animal shelters and all those warring with each other because each has their own different philosophy.
And they are serious.
They are very serious.
Their animals. They're my children animals. And I made the mistake once, and I'll never make that mistake again. I made the mistake once saying to a person and said, this is my child. Mm-hmm. And I said, no, it's not. And I regretted that, and mm-hmm. I will never say it again. If that's your child, I will love your child as your child.
See, I'm one of those guys, like, I'm big into animal rights and not in the animal rights community, PETA and all that, but
You have the Edwards shelter.
I have the Edwards shelter. I take in pretty much anything that comes to my house, and I have for a long time. But for me, I don't even see them as my children. I see them more as like my roommates, as my equals, pretty much. I'm that guy. So that's a big
when are they going to get a job?
I'm still waiting on the orange one. You know, the orange one, she thinks she's all that, but she won't get out of the house and get a job. God bless her.
Well, I have three horses. And I've had dogs that, have stayed with me for 10 or 12 years until they went on to where dogs go.
That big.
And hole in the ground.
Well,
and I've appreciated all of them, but they've always been dogs and they've always been horses, and I allowed them to be dogs and horses. Mm-hmm. And I've never gotten to the point that they were anything more than that. And I like loving a dog. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I love
They're
my kids.
Company,
I like loving a dog, but I don't want to love a person. I want to love a dog. I've got some people to love. I get the dog to love a dog, not call him a person.
Speaking of which, I used to work in property management, and we used to see these nightmarish conditions that were caused by children and meth heads too, but mostly children. And so it's been my contention for a long time. You get all these property owners who are all very set in stone, no pets allowed. And for me, I'm just kind of like, why don't you just forbid children if you're going to forbid pets? Because I've seen some things, and kids mess things up way worse than a cat or dog or a pot-bellied pig. I worked one scene where it was like the pot-bellied pig had done some damage, but not as much as your typical three-year-old.
Well, I'd say a lot of that probably comes from the fact that we don't discipline our kids like we used to.
Well, yeah, but I think there's some civil court decisions on whether or not you can.
With the kids, it's called.
There's that.
It's familial status.
Right.
And that is a federal statute. You're talking about federal civil rights statute.
Well, I know, but I'm just saying, it's kind of tongue in cheek there. But,
because we do.
Bid pets, kids are.
And we don't allow people to advertise no kids. So just to nip that in the bud.
Well, just food for thought. I mean, tongue in cheek for the most
part.
There's
that equal housing thing.
Yeah. So are you saying we should get our parents spayed and neutered?
I might just be saying that, my friend.
That
might be a little bit of the subtext there. Have kids when you're good and ready.
Well,
bring some kids into the world.
My parents, when I was a teenager, told me that they wished they would have been spayed and neutered before I was born.
I'm just running out there because we already talked about how we handle pets, So, I mean, there you go. But of course,
are you talking about the fact that I keep my grandmother in the backyard?
In a tin can, no less.
You don't even have a kennel for her?
She has an RV. She's back there for Adult Protective Services. She is back there at her own choice. But
I feel like we made this conversation really
We have awkward. It a lot, but it's she made it through Christmas. Grandma's on Facebook.
Yeah, I saw it the other day. I never seen
it. Some of the littles, but Gary, who's the Nacogdoches columnist? Gary Stallard and I were comparing who had the most trash after having babies at the house all weekend long. But I have a little bit of edge over him because he's got some tiny babies, but I have like three under five.
Shoot, you've three got an under army. Three.
We made a train to go see the train. No, did you see that one?
But I didn't see that one.
We did go watch the train.
My internet was cutting out when I was trying to look at Facebook.
We went to the train village at Good Golly Miss Molly's, and much fun was had by all.
Pat Swilly. I don't know if y'all know Pat Swilly. Do you know Pat, Valerie?
I just know y'all are tight.
Patrick Swilly, he's a hilarious person, but he helped put that together. And took a lot of pride in it. And
that's fantastic.
It is great.
Very They've got cool. skiers coming down the hill. They've got Santa hovering in a hovercraft. And
oh, yeah. It's amazing. I it's was great. Looking at that. And
our favorite teacher had a lot to do with it, too, I think.
Which one?
Ruth Hollenbeck.
Miss Hollenbeck. I remember her from back in the day. Mm-hmm. Yeah, which wasn't that long ago. She's
yes,
still
it was.
A lovely She's, young lady.
Well, she
it was a hot minute or two, huh? Hot men or three.
She still has an incredible amount of energy and gets around and goes and fishes. And
everyone should go see it. And I looked at that. I mean, you're talking about someone spent $10,000 plus to collect that. That's a huge collection.
And this is at Good Golly Miss Molly's?
Mm-hmm. Did y'all ever have trains when you were kids?
You know, I had a train set that I set up and played with, but never had like any kind of grandiose, like anything like that. But I love trains. I would like to see this.
My paternal grandfather was a train collector, and when he passed away, it was like three mini warehouses full of trains.
Oh, he had the
and all of those big displays like that. So it was a nice little Christmas memory to revisit with my grandkids. But.
Well, they have one at, I think, Texas Children's Hospital, because that's where my daughter had her brain surgery a few months ago. And downstairs, as you're going out and going over to one of the other hospitals, because, you know, they're all connected down there, they have one that I thought was impressive, and it's behind a glass wall and actually has little buttons you can press and make the trains go, which was my entertainment while I was waiting around. But I thought it was impressive. In that hospital until I saw this thing that they put together at Good Golly Miss Molly's.
Oh, you think ours is better than Herman's?
They had to even one
ours
up Herman's.
Is better. It is better than Herman's. Herman's is great, but this thing here just is mind-blowing with what they put together.
Well, speaking of the medical center, that's a great segue into our best stories of the year for this year as we wrap down. Some of us have one more paper left, I think. Is your next paper dated this year or next year?
I think it's dated next year. Our Christmas one came out this week. Mm-hmm. And so then our next one comes out in January.
We are so confused. Holiday deadlines were bumped up. So the one that's hitting the street now, we actually printed on Friday before Christmas. Yeah.
Some of us were up 24 hours. Yay!
Yeah, some of us were up 24, 36 hours because we were doing multiple papers. Yeah. And then the next one will be really exciting because it's up to date. And I've been trying to bring all our companies up to date. But my favorite story for 2018 hit a major landmark that I posted on Facebook. Jeremiah Jefferson came home from TERS. So
that's great.
He got to be home for Christmas.
Yeah.
And if you don't know, Jeremiah broke his neck in the last Livingston Junior High game of the season. And he and his wonderful mom, Ruby, and his big sister all got to be at home together. He came in and walked into Livingston Junior High for their last day of school. And he got a standing ovation. And he's had about 32,000 comments on Facebook when I posted that he was headed home. And he walked to the car. That's a big deal.
That's a big deal. And the beautiful part of that, the thing that really made me happy to be here, this community really rallied. They rallied in support. Mm-hmm. They rallied in dollars. Mm-hmm. We had that barbecue, almost 400 plates sold. Their GoFundMe fundraiser, people contributing. You have things and credits to our county judge's office and all the people in their office, but they went and bought Miss Jefferson a complete Christmas meal.
Good.
So that they could, I want to say the ladies in the county judge's office seems like that's all I ever see.
Yeah.
However, guys, if there are any of you there,
I'm not aware of any up there in Sydney's office.
So you're not, I'm not either, but they, you know, people rallied and came together for this family and well, they're a great family.
They are great. And I know, the folks at the sheriff's department. I saw them lining up to get meals at your dinner, they were, and they said, you know, Miss Ruby is great people. So, but we're not done yet. He's still got a long way to go.
We had the sheriff's department. Injury. The sheriff's department, all of them, the police guys came by. Poor First State Bank, they ordered so many meals that we couldn't even get over there. First National finally gave up on us, and they came over and packed their 30 meals themselves. Mm-hmm. Everyone in the county. Yeah. It was coming from all over. We thought we would sell 100, 120 plates, and it was over 400.
Yeah, but Miss Ruby's been off work since this happened, so we are going to probably have a few more fundraisers, so be on the lookout for that. You could help this family, because I think all of us see that we could each be in Miss Ruby's shoes tomorrow.
Easily, and we have all gone and watched those football games throughout the years, and we've all gotten lots of pleasure out of those kids playing. So when that happens to one, we need to remember what we've gotten from them. I think this community does.
Yeah. Well, my nephew played for the Lions for many years and went and got a full ride to SFA. Is that your alma mater, Jacob?
No. Now I'm insulted because I'm a Bearcat. Thank you very much.
Well, I'm a lumberjack, so.
I knew we had some lumberjacks. So, well, you're wearing that beautiful purple shirt.
I know. Yeah, that's the correct
shirt,
color.
It's not a purple lumberjack shirt.
By your tongue.
if you want to take it outside, by all means. I'll take you out there.
That was certainly a fear I had a lot for poor little baby Corey when that 6'10" 340 pounds hits the ground. He's such a delicate flower. Yeah. I was always afraid.
It's a little guy.
I didn't have that fear. My son's a lot smaller than me, but I played football. So I guess I just didn't have the fear. But I do remember, I guess my son was 9 or 10 years old and playing little peewee football. And it was in Katy at the time. And he got knocked down and got hurt. His mother and I were divorced at the time. So she goes running on the field. Everyone else. So I walked out there and I'm like, get up, son. And he's crying and I'm doing the get up. And finally they say, no, we have to take him to the hospital and the ambulance. We have to. So they put him in the ambulance and he's crying. And I'm like, just get up and let's don't worry about it. Go play some more. And he keeps on and we get to the hospital and they have him on the gurney. And this nurse walks over and he's 9 or 10 years old. He's in severe pain. Oh my God, it hurts so bad. Oh, and the nurse says, okay, I need to take your pants off. And he says, I'm okay.
Funny how that works.
He was cured. So it's sometimes it's okay to get hurt.
That's one thing that playing at the higher levels of football gets you past. Changing clothes, he is not shy at all at now 30 years old or so. You lose all of your shyness.
Yeah. Well, where did he play football? Because SFA. We did not get to change in front of the girls when I was
I'm saying at the SFA locker room, they used to have that you could stand right outside the door of the locker room. His locker was directly in front of the door.
So he was just getting
nearly everyone that came out in front of the locker room saw all there was to see of Corey. And I did go up and do a good touch, bad touch talk to the football team because they had a little bit of a problem. When you're out there changing, that doesn't mean that you get to grab your teammate underwear your bathing suit covers.
It's football players. And here we're learning something about football players.
So, they're grabby.
They're grabby. We weren't grabby but we would. What was the Icy Hot?
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
It was always fun to put Icy Hot in someone's underwear before they got back in to put them on. And we had a guy that we kept trying to get him. Mm-hmm. It was Pat Swilly's brother, Tony. And we kept trying to get him, and Tony would go in and he would smell his underwear. And, which sounds odd, but he was worried about the Icy Hot. So one day we said, well, we're going to get this little underwear sniffing fella. And so we just left his underwear alone. We didn't leave it alone. We put a little Icy Hot in his underwear. So when he smelled it, he would smell Icy Hot because we knew he was going to laugh at us and say, ha, y'all think y'all could got me. But
he went commando and you put him in his britches.
We put him in his britches. And Tony could. Oh, that was the fastest he had ever been that day.
Okay.
Well.
So, what was your favorite story?
And does it involve underwear?
You know, actually, it does not. Or icy hot and touching bathing suit areas. But actually, you know, I've been thinking about this today ever since you presented the prompt, Valerie. And there's two of them that really stand out. One of them's one I did recently for the magazine, actually, that was mm-hmm. a feature on somebody here in Polk County. And the other was something that we covered in the booster. The most recent was about Otis Johnson's mm-hmm. rock shop out in Indian Springs.
And that's for a magazine that hadn't even hit the street
yet. It hasn't hit the streets yet, but is it next week maybe? Mm-hmm. Or,
yeah.
So next week, folks, the East Texan, the winter edition of the East Texan will hit the streets. So be sure to check it out. I'm really proud of the work everybody's done on this and I'm really honored to have my work in it. And I think your sister, Debbie, she's the one who edits it yeah. and she does a darn good job. And that's how this came about was originally she had someone assigned to this story and they couldn't do it. So I got reassigned it at the last minute. And it was just such a joy to go out and interview this guy. He's 92 years old. He still works every day. And his family, his daughter pretty much manages the place now, but his whole family has some part to play in it. You know, I've taken geology classes, but I'm no means a mineral or rock expert. I'm interested in the metaphysical applications of minerals and rocks and things, but it was a real education to interview this guy and to take in the real lust for life that he has. That was really inspirational to me, but also everything seems to go back to his wife, who's no longer with us. The mm-hmm. love that he still has for that woman is nothing short of inspiring. So if you get a chance to, next week, the East Texan comes out. So be sure to read that story and all the other stories in there. And also, if you get a chance to go out to Johnson's Rock Shop and spend some time with Mr. Johnson, you will go out there a stranger and leave as a friend. And the other story that really stood out to me is in terms of compelling stories is this year we finally in Tyler County saw a resolution to our missing DA. Now, being a resident of Tyler County, you know, for a long time, this has been something that a lot of people were just concerned about, up in arms about, well, we're paying money for this person who's not showing up to work. We don't know where she is. Well, she was removed from office after a trial by jury this summer. And now we have Lucas Babin, who's about to be sworn in as the new DA. And since all this happened in May, when there was a petition made to remove her from office and then a trial took place and she was formally removed, Ann Pickle has shouldered a lot of that burden and has really picked up steam and has cleared a lot of cases off the docket that have been languishing. But more than that, the more that I got into this story and learning about what had transpired, there's a lot about mental illness and seeing signs of severe mental breakdowns. And that's really what's responsible for what happened here with the former DA, why she wasn't showing up to work and those kinds of things. And it was a sad story in the long run. It started out as when I wasn't covering news in Tyler County, but still I lived there, I was concerned about why this person was allowed to keep this position and draw a salary, but not showing up to work, not doing a thing to earn that salary. But in the end, it became an issue of, is she okay? Is she safe wherever she is?
Yeah.
And she didn't show up to the trial either. They went ahead and threw with it.
But you talk about a long ordeal for all of the people of Tyler County because it took 4 years to get her out of office.
Absolutely. She was elected in 2014. And from what I understand, the signs were there from before she took office.
Well, the county judge, Jacques Blanchette, had been working on that project for a long time.
A long time.
And then it was finally that I think some pieces fell together and a very brave crime victim came forward and filed a suit. And that is what ultimately got her removed.
It can only be done by a district judge, right?
Yes.
I mean, obviously.
Yes,
you can't remove an elected official from office just willy-nilly. It has to be done by...
The district attorney is the most powerful position in a county because they can either prosecute or not prosecute based on their discretion.
That's right.
And it is also, as we saw, nearly impossible to get them out. But when you have people who have been waiting and waiting in the courthouse, they are not holding any trials, you could have a DWA case that would rock on for 3 or 4 years.
Right.
And it's not, even for the offenders, it's not fair to anyone concerned.
Well, I really wonder sometimes why, since it's so obvious that our justice system has serious issues when mm-hmm. it takes this long, when it's piled up that far, why there aren't some serious changes. Because, and I'm not a policeman, but I know this, the jails are filling up. And if it's crime prevention, but the jails are filling up, then the prevention part is failing somewhere.
Well, it really is.
It's time for change.
we have some big issues to try to do something with. My perspective changed when I was driving down 350 with a lifelong friend who's a retired police officer. And we looked in there and we said, hey, we've got classmates in there. And he said, oh, there's a lot of people that I put in jail that are in there. And I still wonder about their cases. Mm. And it's kind of like whether he was just executing an arrest warrant or something like that, that he had misgivings about their imprisonment.
And unfortunately, I don't think that there's a lot the normal police officer deputy can do, because their job is,
that's right,
is simple. Here's a set of laws. Mm-hmm. If you see someone breaking these laws, mm-hmm, you write them a ticket or you arrest them based on whatever the policy of your department is or what the state mandates you have to do.
Right.
And it's gone from them after that.
Right. And I've been in some Facebook conversations lately where people talk about the meth heads or whoever gets out of jail in a few hours. And it's like, folks, it has nothing to do with the quality of your policing officials or your prosecutors. Anything but capital murder, you have to give that defendant a chance for a pretrial release. And
absolutely,
they're saying, well, keep saying that until you believe it. And it's like, well,
it's the way
it's
the system
not,
works. I think you mentioned Facebook, and I see that a lot, trying to keep abreast of the booster Facebook posts and things. You see a lot of people making comments like, oh, well, why can't the sheriff arrest all these dope heads? They know where they are. Well, that's not how the system works. And I think that it might do us some good to kind of every once in a while provide some kind of refresher course on civics. I mean, God knows they don't teach it in the schools anymore.
Well, and I work as a real estate broker, and I meet with property owner associations.
Sure.
And I can tell you there's a surefire way. If neighbors would just come together, mm-hmm, and pull $50 out of their pocket each to get rid of the meth dealer, because you can hire an off-duty police officer and you can have him patrol any road you want.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, you just have him patrol in front of the meth dealer's house,
right,
back,
mm-hmm,
and forth, back and forth. And I promise you, the meth dealer's going to move because his customers won't come.
Well, there's
and
all kinds of
very
neighborhood.
Simple.
Well, you,
yeah,
you can
even watch groups.
Neighborhood
like
watch
that
groups. I know in Tyler County, there's,
yeah,
a very active one.
Oh, absolutely.
That they cleaned out a neighborhood, and they started out with one about like Indian Springs here in Livingston.
Right.
And neighbors just came together. They have a covered dish dinner once a month, and they discuss what's the problems and who's supposed to be there and who's not, because you're never going to have a police force that can. I mean, number one, it'd be, yeah, outrageously expensive. And number two, we don't want it to be like Cold War Russia,
exactly,
where someone's,
yeah,
always watching you.
Yeah, you can't. They can't be everywhere at once. But yeah, you don't want a police state.
so we hire them. They're employees of ours. They just happen to also have a badge, and we assign them to the street,
yeah,
we want.
Yeah, I think there is a lot of restrictions on that, actually, though.
It helps to get to know your police officers, too, because that's partially why San Jose County Precinct 3 Constable Sam Houston, that's what, mm-hmm, he says. It's what, you know, he gets along with all the neighbors and whatnot.
Yeah,
they,
it's,
they
called,
know who he is.
Community,
he,
policing.
Right.
Yeah. And they've had some pretty serious drug busts here, you know, some recent ones, too, within this year and I think also a little bit of last year. But a lot of that is because people trust him.
When you try to go out and hire your own policeman, I think the sheriff has a lot of.
Oh, they have to approve it. Everything has to go.
So don't just walk
sheriff
up to Mike Nettles and say,
well,
for hire, can you come to my neighborhood and clean it out? $50.
The interesting thing about that is you can't walk up to Mike Nettles and say it, because if you're a reserve, mm-hmm, because when they retire, they become reserve, mm-hmm, to keep their badge and what, mm-hmm, have you, they can only work traffic.
Mm-hmm.
Reserve cannot work security. You can only get to work security. You can only get an actual police officer. And in Polk County, has to go through the, mm-hmm, sheriff. I don't know if that's a state law or
it
if
is,
that's Polk,
well,
County.
It is. I would say it's a policy by all of the law enforcement officers, because it's just like why you can't work for two different police departments at the same time. When you are a licensed police officer, somebody has to put up a bond for you.
Right.
And all that kind of stuff. Like if a concern that Matt Dillon is not policing the way you want, and you can go to the Texas Commission on Law Enforcement and, right, say, hey, where all has Matt Dillon worked in his educational background? And they'll say, well, he and Chester went to school here. And
I think we've been fortunate here, because for the most part, the law enforcement I know, mm-hmm, are all pretty sincere, and they're not getting rich doing their jobs. So.
Absolutely not.
So they seem to be, and they're all, none of them have ever come after me, blazing lights, blazing, and throwing me on the ground. So I'm pretty, well, happy. And I think our policemen are out in the community working. like you said, the police and the sheriff's department were out trying to support Ruby Jefferson.
Right. They're our neighbors, and they tend to be more motivated by being that, as Mr. Rogers said, that one of the helpers in your community. And
you've got the Paskey brothers for entertainment.
That's exactly who I was about to think about.
They're always entertaining to talk to. I would like to get a ticket by them just to hear them talk sometimes because they're funny.
I called him up because over the Christmas break here, because a neighbor was sighting in a new weapon, I believe, and Grandma went into Mama Bear mode because all the kids are out doing the tire swing, and all of a sudden you hear 14, 18 gunshots, and it's like, okay, everybody back in the house.
Too close for comfort.
Yeah, well, and it's just the fact that it just keeps on.
Neighbor shooting, her son's out there changing clothes.
Nephew.
Nephew's out there changing clothes.
But anyway, we have a new story out now about Neskilla that's providing a lot of great jobs for our local people and being threatened with their continuation. And
well, that's a question that's dumbfounded me for years.
Yeah.
Texas runs one of the largest gambling operations in the world. The Texas
lottery is
huge. So we are running one of the largest gambling operations in the world. Yet the reason the government puts out and some legislator put out that we don't want gambling at Neskilla is that we're morally opposed to gambling.
Mm-hmm.
So how are we morally opposed to gambling when we run the largest gambling operation in the world?
Stop taking that lottery money.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, stop taking it. Pass the legislation. No more lottery. I don't play it.
It has proven itself to be a win-win for our community.
Right.
And it has sparked development of a lot of other businesses. I think there are 9 new businesses between Business 59 and the reservation since Neskilla has reopened.
And there's how many jobs?
260, I want to say.
Yeah, that's a lot of jobs.
They're not in an area to be turning down jobs.
They are good jobs, living wages, benefits, health insurance. Mm-hmm. Things that a lot of families find it difficult to have. But anyway,
I want to pose something to that. Now, you said it provides a lot of jobs. Now, mm-hmm. it is interesting we do bring up the morality of it, of course, because, mm-hmm. I mean,
because you are a person who does not gamble yourself.
Right. Yeah. I gave you my little card. And it was free money. I probably would have done it, you know, but I didn't really feel like getting involved in it anyway. The thing is, I will pose this to you. So let's think about it like this. We talk about the morality of it. And you made a good point. It is, speaking from a strictly neutral position, it brings in jobs to this area.
Mm-hmm.
So, but would we be saying that if it was Neskilla Gentlemen's Club?
To just be straight up, I don't think if it was Neskilla Gentlemen's Club, people would be driving here from Houston to do it.
That is true. You bring up a point there.
And it is. But we have a long history of using sin tax to pay for things. There are huge taxes on cigarettes
and alcohol.
And
they keep increasing every year too.
So we do fund a lot of government operations off of things that a lot of people choose not to do for ethical reasons. And I applaud them for having that self-control and discipline. And
just to be clear, there is not an ordinance in Polk County against a gentleman's club. I think that they may, since our younger people move away, and the rest are left that look like mm-hmm. me.
I think they
may have a hard time getting any staff that people are willing to drive from Houston for.
I'm not posting
it in such a genteel way there.
Right.
I'm not very careful.
I'm not posing the question so much as the economics of the America. I mean, obviously there's a reason why clubs like that would only
there are certainly cities, a number of businesses who could open and draw people in that we might be less, have less of a good feeling about.
But more open arms.
I have to say that having that business, because I've had a lifelong friend challenge that, well, you're just trusting the tribe to run it well and not have, you know, I think everybody, when they think of a casino, they have pictures of 1920s Nevada or something.
Robert De Niro, what was that movie?
The fact of the matter is
they do have that track record of being good neighbors and sharing, but it will remain an alcohol-free facility and things like, you know, they're afraid that people are going to go spend all their money. And it's like, well, if they don't do that, they could also go spend all their their money on eight-liners or M&Ms.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, there's got to be people trying to morally police the public.
What is the distance from the reservation to the Louisiana line anyway? About 30 miles? I mean,
45.
Yeah. It's not like you're gonna,
45, 50. Not really too far. So you're going to spend your money that way one place or another if you're so inclined to do so.
And in answer to the Gentleman's Club question, I don't think that because someone may dance for a living and that may be what they need to do for a living, I don't think that makes them a terrible person.
They're all working on their master's degree.
A lot of them.
Or they're going to get into films.
Some are. And some make such a huge living.
Well, we need to bring Judge-elect Steptoe on here so he and I can tell our story from a Gentleman's Club in Trinity County.
Oh, my.
And when they raided that. So we'll tell that for another day. I think we've wandered around all of this stuff. We hope y'all all had a great Christmas and we'll have a happy new year. We will see you back right here next year for another East Texas News Roundup. Stay safe, be nice to your neighbors, and we'll see you next time.
Goodbye.
Have a good one. And Merry Christmas, everyone.